Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Interesting message today. I don't know if I, and when you're in the traveling ministry, you get to sometimes take a message and preach it 10, 20, 30 times. I don't have that luxury. I've got to have, different things every Sunday, and so this is another one of those messages just kind of dropped in my heart. Don't think I've ministered this before. But Romans 11, verse 29 says this, "For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable." Now let me read that to you in the Amplified. It says, "For the gifts and His call are irrevocable. He never withdraws them once they are given. He does not change His mind about those to whom He gives His grace or to whom He sends His call." So that's a word we hear sometimes in church. We use that phrase, "Oh, I've been called to do this. I've been called to the ministry. God's called me to do this." You've heard that? This word calling, what it means, it's a very simple definition. The calling means invitation. At its basic meaning, it means an invitation. And there's two parts to this invitation. It's to come to or to go to. To come to or to go to. So it's an invitation. In this case, it's an invitation by God to come to Him. Or an invitation by God to come to Him and then go do something with that. So that's very simple. We can understand that. And so each of us, whether we realize it or not, you may not think that you're called. Maybe you say so-and-so is called, Matt, he's called to be a pastor, and Susie's called to be a pastor, and Nate's called to be a pastor, or, people are called different titles like that. But a lot of times, believers, Christians, wouldn't necessarily say that about themselves, "I'm called." You don't necessarily hear that a lot. It's usually someone in full-time ministry, they'll say that. But today, I just want you to know, we're all called. Everybody that's a believer is called, invited to come to God and invited to do something for God. And so we'll just go over a couple of these real quick and then get into some ones you probably want to hear about. But the first one is found, first part calling that we have is found in 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. It says this, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you are also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." So the first calling that we all have is we have a call to eternal life. We have a call to salvation, a call to eternal life. Even like sometimes at the end of the service, we'll say we're going to give the invitation, right? We're going to give the invitation. We're going to invite people to come forward. So we even call that, it's an invitation. It's a calling. So we're calling on people, what? To be born again, to be saved, to make Jesus the Lord of their lives, to come to Jesus. And so that's the first calling that we all have, is to come to Jesus. And many of us here, and that includes to know you're going to heaven when you die. Romans chapter 10 makes it clear, those that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it's so interesting that as we've gone out in the streets, we talk to a lot of different people. And we talk to a lot of church people. And it's really disheartening for me as a pastor to meet people that are members of other churches and they don't know whether they're saved. They don't know whether they're going to heaven when they die. They don't know that they have eternal life. And that's really sad to me, because that's the foundation for the Christian life. If you don't know that, you can't walk in the other callings. And so hopefully here at Good News Church, everybody that's a member or even a tender of this church, I mean, you know you're saved. And you can give me verse and chapter and verse, and you know when you die, you're going to heaven. And that's every believer, every member should hear at Good News Church, should know that. You should never be approached by someone on the street. And thank God when they do, or they come to your house, or you meet them at a restaurant. I've had that happen. And I don't mind that for someone to share the gospel with me. But I can tell them why I know I'm saved. And give them chapter and verse. So that's the first calling that we all have, is a calling to salvation, a calling to eternal life. The second calling is found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. I'll read that. It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which He has given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And so the first invitation, the first calling, is to come to God. The second calling is to come to God, to know you're saved, to know you have eternal life, but to realize, John 10:10, that Jesus came to give you life and life more abundantly, that He's got an inheritance for you here on the earth. So not only He wants you to come to Him, but He's got benefits. Psalm 103 says, "Forget not all His benefits." And we could, you know, go around here today and talk about healing, provision, peace, authority. We could just, the list goes on and on of all the different parts that we have of our inheritance. Seated with Him in heavenly places, blessed with all spiritual blessings, forgiveness, mercy, grace. I mean, you can spend a lifetime talking about all the benefits and the promises. And really, there's thousands of promises in the Word of God. For any area, anything you're dealing with today, there's multiple promises. And you need to know those things in whatever area you're dealing with, whatever trial you're going through. And we talk about this here. It's go to the Word. It's good to get advice and talk to people. But the Word of God, I mean, that's the foundation for moving forward in any area. So there's a call to the blessings of salvation. So God's saying, come to me and receive eternal life, but then come to me and walk in that inheritance. And I think, again, here, folks that are here at a Good News Church, I mean, hopefully you know more about your inheritance. Many people say to me that have been coming to Good News Church, "We've learned more in the last 2-3 months than I did in 15 years at the whatever place I was attending." That's really sad. I don't really like to hear that testimony either. Like, what have you been hearing? But we hear that a lot. Okay, so those are two. So you, everybody say, "I'm called." Everybody say, "I'm called to salvation." And I'm called to an inheritance. Now the third calling, let's look over in Matthew chapter 4. And you hate to say there's levels. I don't know if I really like that or not. But there is, I'll just put it this way, there is growth. There is maturity. There is understanding. There is revelation. So, greater revelation. And so this third calling is found in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him." And so this is a deeper calling. I don't know about deeper calling. This is an invitation from God to use what you've been given. This is an invitation to say, you're part of the team now. You're part of the family. Genesis would probably put it this way. Abraham said he was blessed to be a blessing. So we're called, the third thing we're called to do is to be a disciple. We're called to be a follower of Christ. And this really is the highest calling. This is the highest calling. I mean, whether you're in full-time ministry or not, this is the highest calling that God has for us. And this calling has to do with a lot of different things. It has to do with a revelation of the Great Commission. How about I just come down on the floor and look you closer in the eye? How about that? Should I do that? Yes or no? Maybe. And again, we have a lot of people that say they're Christians, but I don't know if not everybody that's a Christian, not everybody that's saved is a disciple. Does that make sense? Not everybody that's saved is a disciple. Meaning they necessarily haven't, picked up their cross and are following Jesus. A lot of times, especially here in the United States, being a Christian is kind of associated with the American dream. I'm married, I've got a good family, I've got a house, I've got a good job, I'm paying my bills, taking care of my family, and, go to church on Sunday, and I live right, and I do good things. And that's not necessarily being a disciple. Those are all good things, and God, certainly it's all part of God, your inheritance, and certainly part of the blessings, but it doesn't mean that you're now a co-laborer with God. You're now working with God on a daily basis, that you're partnering with Him. And we've got to be careful because, for me, one of the toughest things I've dealt with as a Christian is being blessed. One of the toughest things I've dealt with as a Christian is having money. For so long, I was just believing God for finances, just barely to make it. And something about when you start having your bills paid and you've got money in the bank, you start relying on those things. Whereas before, you trusted in God. That's why this faith, this trust challenge was so good. Kind of just stirred up some things in us that we had. We're going to do it again, by the way. I don't know when, but it's been so good to do the trust challenge. And Nate was talking about that today. He was talking, that was a disciple offering message, follower of Jesus offering message there. But there's a Great Commission. And, how many believers feel like they have any part of the Great Commission? How many people, believers, wake up every day thinking about the Great Commission? To be honest, I think many people are just waking up and I just want to make it through the day. I just want to get by. I know God's got a plan and He's doing something, but I just got to make it today. I got to pay my bills. I'm dealing with all those problems at work. I got problems at home. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to say amen to that, but I think that's kind of where a lot of people are at. And so to say now, I've got a part in the Great Commission. What is the Great Commission? The Great Commission is two parts, basically. The Great Commission is I am actively doing my part to make disciples. And then also that I'm actively winning. See, this is really hard because, it's like, oh my God, Pastor, you're going to talk about this again? Well, see, I have to, with my calling, if I've got a mission like empowering people to give life, I've got to talk about the Great Commission all the time. I've had this happen. I've been preaching, certain messages. And this, after like 5 years, a member that's been a part of the church, they'll come up today to me and say, I got it today. I'm like, what? I'll say that, but I'm like trying to keep, what? I've been preaching this for years. But it's just your eyes have to be opened. So I've got to keep, as tired as you are of hearing of the Great Commission, I've got to keep talking about it in 1,000 different ways because one day you may just, ding, you know. Yeah, that's my, I'm a part of that. Where you look at yourself like, I'm a co-laborer with Christ. Where you wake up and you'll say, you know, and you've got a lot of things on your plate, but you'll say to God, you know, Jesus, Holy Spirit, what do we have to do today? What's your plan for today? Not, you know, my plan. Not here's my plan and bless it. What's your plan? And when He gives you the plan, it's already blessed. You don't have to ask for any blessings. But that, again, this, and see, you see what I'm talking about? It's just a maturity. It's a growth in your life. And it's just something that we're talking about here is, you know, we're a church of disciples. We're a church of followers of Jesus. And if you talk to a lot of different pastors, they'll have a whole different, you know, my definition of a follower of Christ and the guy down the street is going to be different. And then that's going to make a difference in what they do and what they preach and what they talk about. And so we believe here that we're raising up life givers. We believe here that we're empowering people to give life. And so I've got to have opportunities for training for outreach. I've got to have opportunities for people to hear about ministry. I've got to have opportunities. I mean, I want every believer to know how to get someone saved, to get someone baptized in the Holy Spirit. I, you know, and again, I know when you're new to it, that this happens, but I want you to be able to one day, I mean, if someone would ask you, I mean, I want to get filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't have to call me. You can call me and I'll do it, but I mean, I want you to be able to do it. I want you to be able to catch fish. He says He's going to make us a fisher of men. That's just not full-time ministry. He will make anybody that's a follower, but see, you've got to cooperate with Him. And I can remember different periods of my life where I heard about being a disciple, and I said, Lord, that's what I want to be. I remember way back, I got saved in August of 82, and then I got involved with Campus Crusade for Christ. This is St. Cloud State in Minnesota, and I got involved with Campus Crusade for Christ, and that Christmas, where they're having a meeting, Campus Crusade was having a bigger meeting in Minneapolis, and Bill Bright was there. Now, Bill Bright is an amazing man. He's in heaven now, but he was a part of getting millions and millions of people saved. Their organization does the Jesus film. They have a great, I think they're called Crew now, great ministry on college campuses, great ministry all over the world. And so we were there, and I don't know what the actual date was, but I remember that Bill Bright was on his knees, and I got my chill bumps. My hair standing up, my arms. You can't probably. Can you tell? I don't know. I can just see it to this day. And he was there on his knees, and we were all on our knees, and we were just in prayer. And he had just talked about discipleship and what it means to be a disciple. And we were just all there, just giving our lives to God and saying, God, use me. And then the following year, it was like a year later, there was something called KC83. And this was 20,000 college students met in Kansas City. And one of the featured speakers was Billy Graham. I had the privilege of being there. And so Billy Graham spoke. And it was 20,000 of us. And it's the same thing. And it was a call to discipleship. They're standing up again. And it was a call to discipleship. And again, we just had a time of prayer. And a time of consecration. And says, you know, we're just saying to God, yeah, use me. Be a partner with Him. And so that's a deeper level. And that's, and again, I believe we call it the ministry of believer. I won't read 2 Corinthians 5, but 2 Corinthians 5 says that we're ambassadors for Christ. Remember that's the scripture, old things passed away. Behold, all things are new. I mean, we're new creations. But then it goes on, and even in that part, it goes on to say that we were made ambassadors for Christ, that we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. See, that's part of our calling. Every believer has a ministry of reconciliation. We're not called to bring strife. We're not called to bring division. We're not called to bring more problems. We're called to bring solutions. Everybody say, I have a ministry.
I have a
ministry. Say, I'm an ambassador
for Christ.
I've been given the ministry of reconciliation.
I've been given the ministry of reconciliation.
Go ahead and say, I'm called. Turn to your neighbor and point to them and say, you're called by God. And I'll go ahead and say this, that the abundant life. If you want, go ahead, Tony. Just quote the whole thing back to me. The abundant life, and we'll, you know, and the abundant life is found in salvation, is found in our inheritance. But I believe that the abundant life is truly found in being a disciple. Because it's being a disciple is where joy, you just abide in joy. It doesn't mean that things are perfect for you and the enemy. And when you're a disciple, you got a big target on your back. Isn't that great? Don't you love that? Enemy's out to get you. He wants to stop you. He's going to do everything he can to stop you, kill, steal, and destroy. And if he can't get to you, he'll get to those close to you. He'll get to your dog if that's the only one he can get to. And so, we can all make a decision. And I don't know why I did early on in my Christian walk. I just made a decision. I'm going to be a disciple. I mean, I want to be blessed and thank God for the blessings, but I want to do something with what I have. I want to be a blessing. I want to be used by God. Now, let's go to our last, because that was really exciting. I can tell you're really excited about being disciples. The enthusiasm. Overwhelming. No, I know. People come to the Good News Church and they wonder about the response of the people, but I say to them, either they're really tired and they're sleeping, or they're really thinking about the message. So by faith, I just choose to say you guys are really thinking. Yes, Pastor, that's really deep. That's good. Disciple, yes, yes. I really want that. Okay. All righty. The last one. And see, you know, I'm like, God, why have you called me to have this church? Why do I have to have the Empowering to Give Life church? Why can't I get the worship church? Or, you know, Let's Party and Dance church? Or the coffee church? Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
I'm with the coffee church. And so I'm kind of mad about it. Because people don't really like the disciple church sometimes. They come and, I don't know, that's kind of hard. I mean, I like the people over there. They're really friendly and nice, but I don't know. That's a tough message. So I think I'm going to go over to the coffee church. They got varieties of Java. Different juices. And it's really good over there because, I mean, I know I grew up in this church. It's really good over there because the pastor does everything. I mean, they burn out every 2 years, but the pastor does everything. They do all the praying. They do all the ministry. They just say, you just bring them to me and I'll get them saved. And they'll probably even say, I'll clean them. Which is not true because the Holy Spirit cleans them. And so I was raised up in that church. And it was great because I loved that church because that's how I grew up. I wasn't saved, but 19 years I went to that church because it was great. Because I'd go to church on Sunday and I'd be all spiritual and look all holy. But during the week, I'd just raise hell. I was good churchgoer. I'd go out I'm seriously, at St. Cloud State, when I was a freshman, I mean, I was going out 4 or 5 times a week. I mean, they just had these happy hour specials that, I mean, 2-for-1 drinks and all of that. And man, I was there. I was faithful. You know, you go to the place and everybody knows your name. Nobody cares about what kind of sin you're involved in. In fact, the more sin, the better. And they're giving you free drinks? I mean, we ought to do the church of the... Well, anyway. And so for 19 years, though, but see where this led to? And again, nothing again. I mean, I'm for anybody trying to do anything for God. But where that led me after 19 years of that, I mean, going to confession, receiving communion, going to church on Sunday. I'm even, you know, helping out leadership. But that led to me, for me, darkness. That led to me where a point in my life where, I mean, because the reason why I was drinking so much is I had so much pain. And I wasn't getting what I needed because I really didn't feel like I needed to. I didn't know I was saved. I didn't know I had an inheritance. And I didn't know God had a plan for my life. And so I'm just trying to make it. And so here, we want you to make it. We want you to overcome. We want you to know who you are in Christ. We want you to walk in your authority, you know, live by faith and know about God's love. But then to realize, hey, I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a disciple. Lord, I want you to use me. All right, let's look over in Romans 1, verse 1. We'll talk about the fourth calling. Romans 1, verse 1. It says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. So the fourth calling is we're given specific assignments. We're given specific assignments. But if you don't walk in the third calling, you will never walk in the fourth calling. If you don't get the disciple thing down, you won't get to the fourth, your assignment. He's got specific assignments. Things for you to do. Really like a purpose of why you're created. When we're all, again, in general, we're all called to be believers. In general, we're all called to walk in love. But see, if you can't get along with people, if you can't walk in love, if you can't be under authority, if you can't, you know, just certain things, which is part of being a disciple, you'll never get to your assignment, because why would God give you an assignment if you're just going to crash and burn? That doesn't make like a whole lot of sense. So, you know, for me, this calling to be a disciple, I've walked into that for 14 years. And I won't, you know, read about Paul. Well, you know, in Galatians, you can read it later, Galatians 1, the end of chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2, Paul says that God separated him for his calling from in his mother's womb. So God gave him an assignment, you know, before he was born. And he really has that for all of us. But, of course, he's going the wrong direction. He's actually killing Christians. You know, going totally opposite direction of what the Lord has for him, has a dramatic conversion. But then he spent 3 years in the desert. And then, and you read in Galatians 2, it says 14 years, about 14 years before he even walked in, though, in his calling to the Gentiles. So there is preparation, there's training. There's learning, there's growing. And how many like that? How many would like to have 17 years of preparation for something? You know, Brother Hagin, one of the people that we follow, Brother Hagin's in heaven, he didn't start Rhema Bible Training Center until he was in his 50s. You know, ministry a long time, since he was a young man, pastored and traveled and did other things. But part of his calling was to bring the message of faith to the world. And he did that through writing, and he did that through the Bible Training Center. And so for me, you know, 14 years, I knew that I was called to full-time ministry. I just knew it in my heart back when I was 19 and 20. And so there were times, though, that I tried to make it happen instead of following God. I left ORU to go to Rhema on my direction because I thought, if I'm going to be a minister, I need to go to Rhema. You know, ORU is good, but it's a university. I need to go the ones on, you know, school just for Bible ministry, for preaching. But see, that wasn't part of God's training for me. And this is where you can kind of miss it about your assignment is you don't do what other people tell you to do. And you don't do sometimes what your brain tells you to do. You've got to follow your heart, and you've got to follow the Holy Spirit, and you've got to be patient. It says that we're through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, I've got good news for those that feel like maybe you've missed it and you've lived you know, your life, and you know, you're older now and you missed a lot of things. When I was ordained for ministry, for full-time ministry, the minister that came and was kind of laying hands on people and praying for me said this to me, which really blessed me. Said to me, "You're right on time. You're right on time." And that I just ministered to my heart because I felt I was late, that I missed it. I was 33. You know, I thought I had missed it. And so I just want to encourage you. You may feel like there's some wasted years. We all have wasted years. I didn't even get saved till I was 19. But I just want you to know God can speed things up. God can get you in a place and get you into that thing you were born to do. And it's never too late. It's never too late. But you have to, again, that disciple part is really, it's the higher calling. It's, you know, even now, I mean, I've got to be a disciple. Yeah, I'm called to certain things, assignments that I've been given. But my first and foremost before that is to be a disciple. Now, what kind of assignments are there? There's a whole lot of assignments that there are. I mean, Martha, I'm going to use you. I don't know if I've mentioned this before. Martha told me this one time. She said that she felt like she was led by God to help with our kids. Remember, I don't know if you remember saying that. La da 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 da. Led by God to help with our kids so that we could do ministry. And you know, I felt that's not the only thing, but that's part of a calling. That's an assignment from God. And she has done a great job with that. You know, and he talks about walking worthy of your calling. And to some, that may not be glamorous. Who wants that job? I mean, you're not up preaching in front of thousands. But she gets rewards based on that calling, fulfilling that assignment. I mean, I think there's callings to churches. You know, calling to youth ministry, calling to children's ministry, callings to serve. And again, some of these positions, I mean, it's not glamorous. And I tell you, can I just tell you something else? Full-time ministry is not glamorous. It's not. It's a lot of work. And it may look glamorous, and it's like, man, I really want to do that. But if that's not what the Lord, if full-time ministry is not what the Lord has for you, I would just say, you know, run for the hills. Because you get involved in full-time ministry, and it's not what your thing, it's going to eat your lunch. You're going to end up divorced, broken home, away from God. Happens all the time. You know, I want to be, you know, whatever the calling is, whether the world thinks it's glamorous or not. I got to speed up here. You know, whether they think it's glamorous or not, it doesn't really matter what they think. It matters what God thinks. What does the Lord think? What does the Lord want me to do? What is He saying for me to do? And see, that's where I need to be obedient. That's where I need to listen to Him. One last scripture, and then we'll do some other things. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. This will really encourage you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. And I got to hustle here, a couple minutes here. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26 says this, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence." And he's talking to the Corinthian church, and the Corinthian church was the laughingstock of Rome. They were the laughingstock. They were the butt of all the jokes. The Romans looked at the Christians as weak, puny, pathetic idiots. But yet these are the same people that turned Rome upside down and evangelized all of Rome. The church was made up of a lot of slaves and a lot of uneducated people. So that's good for us, right? What's happening today? The church today is the butt of a lot of jokes. Hollywood looks down upon us. The elite looks down upon the church. Probably the elite of this city look down upon us. And we give them good reason with all of our offense and all of our touchiness and all our laws. But I believe the church is poised and ready to turn Augusta upside down. I believe that the church, and other people may not see this, but I believe, and that's why you got God, tremendous moves of God in other nations, because they are poor. They got really nothing else to turn to. So they're having revival. It's a little bit more difficult here in the U.S. because we've gotten so comfortable in the whole American dream, we think that's revival. But the Bible says, and you've heard this many times here, you mingle with the world and you learn their ways and it becomes a snare to you. Because you pursue that American dream and there's nothing there. And you get there and you got to get more. It's really, you know, it's greed, more and more and more and more. And you're never satisfied and there's never enough. And I want to tell you right now, a car is not going to make you happy. The big house is not going to make you happy. A lot of property and land, not going to make you happy. Now, those are blessings. They're good things. You can enjoy them. But I'm telling you, that's not where joy is. But that's what the image on TV says. That's what the commercials say. You know, that car is going to get you women and fame and influence. No, what that car is going to get you is a lot of debt. It's going to get you right where the enemy wants you and where the Bible says the borrower, oh, I hate this scripture, the borrower is servant to the lender. Devil wants you to serve him. But the thing we can learn from the Corinthian church is it's the outcast, it's the weak, it's the poor that God can use. Because when something good happens, they're going to know it ain't you. And that's why the kings and the nobility and all the Harvard-trained people, not saying they can't do, they're all called too. But many of them are going to say, look at me. Look at my abilities. Look at my pedigree. Look at my bank account. Now, they're all called. But it's very difficult for them to walk in things because they care so much about what others think. And they got to keep up the image and the front in all of this. And it's really the things they do, the vacations, I hope this isn't you, the vacations, the trips, all they do, it's not for them, it's to impress other people. What are you driving? Where do you live? Where are you going for vacation? Who are you hanging out with? And see, that's all flesh. And really, the only one we're trying to impress is God. And we're not trying to impress Him. We're just trying to please Him. Everybody say, I'm called.
I'm called.
Called to salvation.
Called to salvation.
Called to an inheritance.
And
now say this next one, I mean, with some conviction. Say, I'm called to be a disciple. And then we can just say, then, and then, I'm called to an assignment.
I'm called to an assignment.
Praise God. I think the best thing, I'm not going to say anything else. Ushers, let's get ready for communion. There's various reasons to receive communion. A lot of good things. You know, one, I've received communion. Have you ever just messed up? You just mess up and make a huge mistake. And you can just repent and just confess it. But I mean, there's just times where I just felt like I need to go to God and receive communion. You're the only one looking at me, so I'll look at you. So there's times for that. You know, and then there's times where you're just celebrating the covenant. All the blessings. You're doing so good, Susie. All the blessings. That's another reason. You know, the gospel, what Jesus did for us, all of that. But there's another reason we receive communion, and what I'm saying for today is consecration. Now, consecration is a fancy word. I'm just going to keep looking at you, okay? Consecration is a fancy word that means it's separated unto God for His service. And it may be a time where you pray that prayer that Jesus prayed in the garden, you know, not my will, but your will be done. And so today, again, I can't make it happen. Go ahead, take that cover off. I can't make you pray those words. I mean, I could do a confession. I've been done confessions today. But just because you say I'm called because I said it doesn't mean you believe that or, you know what I'm saying? And we can have a time of consecration. You don't know what I'm talking about. You know, and I understand that. But then let's just take some time with God. And what we'll do is we'll have people come forward for the elements, take them back to your chair, and let's just spend a little time praying. And you talk to God. Talk to God about your life. Talk to God about your purpose. And if you choose to pray those words, you know, that Jesus prayed, said, not my will be done, but your will be done. And then what does it say in Isaiah? Here am I, send me. I've had those. I mean, I had this in Australia just a couple summers ago. It was a powerful time with God, and He spoke to me about some things about my life. And I said to Him, Lord, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. And again, we can say those words, but there's times when it's just from the heart. So wherever you're at today, we could pray those prayers. But before we do that, let's just pray this prayer. There's some folks here today that you may not be saved. You may not be in the kingdom of God. And, you know, we can't go any further without you being in His family. It's very simple. In Romans 10 says, we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess Him as our Lord. And the Bible says we'll be saved. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you only need to do it one time. You don't need to do it 50 times. But when you do that, you enter into God's family. You'll be recreated on the inside, given a new nature. You'll be changed. You'll be given an inheritance. And when you die, you go to heaven. It's a real good deal. And it's by faith. It's not by anything you can earn. You can't pray enough. You can't go to church enough. You know, it's by grace through faith. He's just gracing you. And it's a gift. And so today, I just hope you go ahead and receive it if you haven't already. So everybody, let's say this together. Say, Father in heaven, I thank you for Romans 10. I believe you raised Jesus from the dead. I confess Jesus as my Lord. I am saved. I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things passed away. All things become new. I'm forgiven. Now show me your plan for my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. And if you prayed that for the first time, let me know. Let Nate know. Let Gary know. Let others know. We've got materials for you. If you need a Bible, we've got that for you. We just want to help you walk in God's plan for your life.